yes, you can turn back the clock. It's the Growing Younger Radio Show with Dr. Vernon F. Williams, board certified and fellowship trained with the American Academy of Anti-Aging, Regenerative and Functional Medicine, and founder of San Antonio's Wellness and Aesthetics Medical Center. It's time to turn back the clock with Dr. Williams. The truth shall set you free.
Hello, everyone. Thank you all for joining me today. So we talked about the FDA. We talked about nutrition. We talked about stem cells. Let's go on and continue to talk about regenerative medicine. And one of my favorite ones I talk about and we do in our office is something called new plasma. Now, what is new plasma? You see, when you have blood, you have red cells and you have white cells. If you spin the blood down, it breaks down into a yellow component and a dark red component. The yellow component is the plasma. It's about 55% of your blood. And that plasma in your body, it carries your enzymes, the nutrients like fatty acids, amino acids, minerals and vitamins. It carries your peptides, your proteins, your hormones, your growth factors. It fights against infections. So the plasma portion of your blood is what does all the work. When we do something like PRP, platelet-rich plasma, we are taking a small portion of that plasma, and we take that, and because it has growth factors in it, and we use that to inject into your knee. We use it to put in your face. We use it for hair regrowth. We use it for the vampire facelift. We use it for our sexual stuff like the Piper shot, for the O shot. We use PRP for all those things because we take the more concentrated part of the plasma for those things. New plasma, on the other hand, uses all the plasma. So that plasma is a whole plasma that includes everything. Now, unlike PRP, which is your body's PRP, so it comes to you. So if you're 70 years old, your PRP is 70 years old. Well, new plasma is we get it from young, healthy people. All right? So what does plasma do? It helps with the maintenance of your blood pressure, your blood volume. It also disposes of chemical waste from cells by dissolving the substance. It carries it away. It also brings nutrients to the cells. It does everything that the cells need, detoxing and nourishing the cells. It also has all the healing properties that helps your body heals things. So when you talk about new plasma, you're talking about giving young plasma to older people. For decades, scientists have been observing that certain peptides like GDF11 is abundant in young people and not in old people. That's one of the peptides that help keep you young and healthy. Now, so when we take your blood and we process the blood through either donating the blood, extracting the blood from red cells and platelets, we've been doing that for years. People would normally get that from, if someone had an injury or if they had surgery, we would give you plasma to help with your clotting, help with your blood pressure, and we've been doing it for almost 100 years now. All right? Now, the scientists at Stanford, they found that infusing plasma into the elderly can improve your muscle strength and stamina, reverse DNA damage inside your muscle cells, promote repair of damaged spinal cords, spark the formation of new neurons in the brain and the olfactory system. So they found out that plasma from the young people given to older people can actually do quite a bit to help older people become young and healthy. Incidentally, in this younger plasma, there are stem cells. I told you there's also hormones. So there's growth hormones. There are all of these hormones in more abundance in the younger plasma than they are in the 60 or 70 or 80-year-old person. So when you do this transfusion and you give these younger cells to older people, we find a lot of the aging process starts regressing and things become better. And, you know, children of people in the clinical trial participation observed that after treatment, their parents with dementia became more engaged and energetic and with improved memory. And they found that there is no serious side effects from giving young blood. Now, typically, we get the young blood from a company called New Plasma, which is in New Braunfels. They use college students, 18 to 25, who donate the blood. Now, first, the students are, first, they are checked, just like if you're going to donate blood. They check to make sure there's no adverse reason for you to donate. And if there's a problem, you cannot donate. So they check, number one, to make sure that your blood protein is between 6 and 9. That means you have healthy protein in your blood because you want to make sure that the recipient gets blood that's healthy. Next, they check to make sure that the person doesn't have any communicable diseases. And the once we found that out, there are no genetic problems, they get the blood from these people. After that, the blood is checked twice before they're given to you. They're checked for HIV, hepatitis, for syphilis. They're checked for Zika virus, atypical antibodies, human T lymphocyte virus, cytomegalovirus, West Nile virus. Essentially, they check for all the things that the blood lab checks for to make sure that there's no problems. And then it's checked a second time at about 30 days to recheck to make sure there's still no problem. Once that happens, if that's okay, then the young blood is now free to be given to anyone. Now, one thing that's nice about the young blood is that they do check to make sure there's no rejection problem. And so it's age matched. And once you find a donor, you can get blood from that donor every time you need it. All right? So that's young blood. Now, I like to use young blood because that's the plasma from an 18 to a 25-year-old. It has everything that is regenerative in your body. It has stem cells that are younger than yours. It has growth factors, which are younger than yours. It has hormones. It has minerals. It has vitamins. It has everything that you need to repair yourself. So that is young blood for rejuvenation. Now, we just touched a little bit on PRP. PRP is platelet-rich plasma. PRP, again, is also plasma, but it's not from an 18 to 25-year-old. It is from you, the 60-year-old you, the 70-year-old you, the 80-year-old you. So the PRP from you is not as good as the plasma from a 20-year-old. Now, the PRP, we get the richest, the best concentration of PRP, but even the best concentration of PRP is not as good as the new plasma. Huh? What do we use PRP to? What does it do? And it's not just PRP. This is what new plasma does. It's injected into you. It stimulates the growth of new tissue. And that's what it does. It stimulates the growth of new tissue. So, So normally we take it from your blood, we spin it down, we take the rich portion of the PRP from your plasma, and then we inject it into wherever you have a problem. So if we inject it into a damaged area like your tendon or your ligament, a new muscle tissue begins to form as a result of injection, and as it matures, it shrinks, tightens, and strengthens the tendon and ligaments without causing scarring. Right? So when we use PRP for knees or elbows or muscle, it improves the knee, the tendons, the bone, the cartilage, the muscle. It improves all of that without creating scarring. Right? So we can use PRP injections for your neck, your upper back, your lower back, spine, for your wrists, your elbows, your shoulders, your hips, your knees, your ankles, for carpal tunnel, scoliosis, for ACL tears, for shin splint, rotator cuff tears, plantar fasciitis. We can use for all those. But we could also use PRP. And I want you to understand, sir, anytime I say you can use PRP, you can use stem cells, and you can also use new plasma. So anything that we can use for PRP, we can use stem cells, and we can use new plasma. Stem cells and the new plasma, it will give you a much better result than the PRP, but we can use them all. All right? Now, we also use PRP for hair regrowth, just the same way we can use plasma, new plasma for hair regrowth, and we can use stem cells for hair regrowth. We can also use all three for the vampire facelift. We can use for the nipple rejuvenation. We can use all three for the Piper shot. Or we can use it for in patients who have erectile dysfunction. We can use for the O shot in women. And we can use for anywhere that we do PRP. So PRP, new plasma, and also stem cells can all be used for those things. Next, I want to continue on with regenerative medicine. And I want to talk next about growth hormone. You know, in your body, I always say there's two things that help repair things. Stem cells, your doctor inside of you, and growth hormone. All right? The difference between the two is that stem cells does it themselves. They secrete exosomes. The exosome goes into the damaged cells and force them to make proteins to repair themselves. Growth hormone, on the other hand, it's your body's healing hormone. What it does is, if your growth hormone is optimal, it tells your body to fix the problem right now. If your level is not optimal, it says, take your time, fix it next month. No urgency. And that's the difference. But what does growth hormone do for you? Faster wound healing and stronger bones. Improve sexual performance. Healthy maintenance of vital organs. Lowered risk of heart disease. Lower cholesterol and blood pressure. Reduce body fat and increase muscle mass. Increase energy level and enhance your mood. Sharpen your vision and memory. Regrow your hair. Have smoother and firmer skin. Improve your cognitive function. Enhance your immune function. So growth hormone does everything in your body. They just do it by asking stem cells to help them out, asking other things to happen. But they're the ones who make the requests. And so when you optimize your hormones, don't forget about optimizing your growth hormone. And I know, yes, I know there's taboo on growth hormone because of performance enhancement. But you know something? Taking a Tylenol to reduce your knee pain is performance enhancing. Because if you're going to run that race and your knee hurts, you're not going to perform well. If you take some Tylenol and that reduces the pain, now you can run faster. Did that Tylenol enhance your performance? Yeah. You know, if you exercise in the gym for 5 hours a day and someone exercises for 2 hours a day, you are doing more performance enhancement by doing 5 hours of exercise than the one that does 2 hours. So there's lots of things that enhance your performance. Growth hormone is one of them. Growth hormone just gets a negative rap. Now, there are lots of times when patients will come to me for growth hormone. Now, like anything else in medicine, too much is just as bad as too little. And so we never do anything without assessing the patient. And we check all the patient's hormones. We check to make sure there is a problem. Once we check, we want to make sure that where their levels are, if their levels are not optimal and the patient has symptoms related to those hormones, then yes, we go ahead and optimize them. But first, you have to have some need for it. And number two, your levels have to be where they are, where we consider them not optimal, so that we can improve your function. But nothing's done without being evaluated first. Now, one thing I want to tell you, none of these regenerative stuff is FDA approved. Therefore, we cannot treat anything with any of it. We are not treating anything. What we are doing is helping your body improve itself by regenerating things. So if your body needs to fix something, we are helping you give your body the raw materials required to do it. And we are improving the things that will help your body do its own regenerating. We're not fixing anything. We are just helping your body improve things. All right? So, yes, we are not treating anything. We are just helping out. Now, of course, as part of nutrition, we didn't quite mention IV nutrition. IV nutrition is probably the best way to get nutrition to you. And that's because if we put it in a vein, it's automatically in your body. When we put something into your mouth, a lot of it never gets into your body. So if we put 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C into your mouth, it goes through your stomach and it's absorbed. Some of it gets into your body. Some of it is wasted into your stool. So not 2,000 milligrams gets into your body. Maybe half of it. Or if we give you 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C, half the people gets diarrhea, which means they even absorb even less. So when you take things into your mouth, not all of it is absorbed. When we give you something in the vein, all of it is absorbed. So, you know, we can give 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C in your mouth, and you'll tolerate it. So most of you will. We give 3,000 milligrams, half you will have diarrhea and have some discomforts with it, and half it will not be in your body. We can give you 125,000 milligrams of vitamin C in the vein, and most of you will tolerate it. Of course, we don't start with that. We start with maybe 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and then we go to 25. And, you know, you need at least 10,000 milligrams to help fight cancer. So, you know, we go up as you need it, and the more vitamin C you tolerate, the better you are. But every milligram of what we give you in your vein is in your body. So when we give you minerals and vitamins in your veins, it's all in. Right? What do you use IV nutrition for? For people who have poor digestion and malabsorption, people who have gluten sensitivities, dysbiosis, leaky gut, people who have parasites and yeast infections, you know, people who have had surgery where they've had gastric bypass or a lap band done or gallbladder removed, they don't absorb things as well. IV nutrition for those people. Inflammatory conditions such as Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis or gastritis, irritable bowel syndrome. Those people, IV nutrition is great for them. Fatigue, we use IV nutrition for fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, things like that. Anxiety and depression. We use IV nutrition for viral, hepatitis, HIV, shingles. We use it for viruses, for parasitic infections, for yeast, for bacteria. We use IV nutrition to kill bacteria, to kill viruses, to kill parasites. We use IV nutrition for cancer therapy, for detoxification and chelation, for blood pressure. diabetes, asthma, migraines, dysrhythmia. So we can use IV nutrition for quite a few things in our body. All right? So IV nutrition is the best way to get things into your body directly because you're putting it right into our highway system. Now, putting it in as an IM injection that goes into the muscle, that's not quite as good as IV because you can't put as much in the muscle as you can put in the vein. Okay? So if you were to rank them, orally would be one, would be the least effective way. IM would be the second best way, and IV would be the most effective way to get things into your body. So what kind of IV therapy do we do? Myers cocktail for fatigue, for chronic depression, mild fibromyalgia, infections, asthma, CHF, angina, chronic sinusitis, muscle spasm. We use high-dose vitamin C for cancer, malnutrition. We use glutathione for liver detoxification, all right? For fibromyalgia, for Parkinson's, for claudication. We use EDTA for chelation, for plaques in your arteries. For chronic fatigues, we have chronic fatigue protocols. We have energy protocol with IV nutrition, hydrogen peroxide to help with viral infections, phosphatidylcholine, which helps with your memory, helps with your cells, communications, help with your intellect, you know, help with fibromyalgia, IV arginine for high blood pressure, hepatitis protocol. So we use IV nutrition for quite a few things. All right? Now, last but not least, we need to talk about peptides and also about energy medicine. These are all part of regenerative medicine. Well, first of all, peptide. What are peptides? You know, your body contains over 7,000 naturally occurring peptides. Naturally occurring. Therefore, they cannot be patented. Your cells make them. What is a peptide? A peptide is two or more amino acids put together. All right? Now, a protein is a peptide. But a small protein is a peptide. So a protein that's less than 50 amino acids is considered a peptide. A protein with between 50 and 100 amino acids is called a polypeptide. And a protein with more than 100 amino acids is called a protein. So growth hormone would be a protein because it has 191 amino acid. But naturally occurring peptides, what they do is they go ahead and they tell the cells what to do. All right? So a peptide is a short chain of amino acid that acts both like a protein and like a hormone. Its job is to bind to the receptors of a cell or molecule surface and tell it what to do. That's what an exosome is, a peptide that the stem cells secrete. It goes into the cell wall and tell the cells what proteins to make to repair itself. The signals each peptide sends is highly specific. Cells only do what the specialized peptide tells them to do. So if the peptide tells your pancreas to make insulin, the pancreatic cells make insulin. All right? And by the way, insulin is a peptide. All right? If the peptide tells your pituitary to make growth hormone, then the pituitary makes growth hormone. If this peptide tells your muscles to make more muscle fibers, you'll make more muscle fibers. If the peptide tells your bone to make more bone, then we can take someone who's osteoporotic and make them make more bone so their bone can be stronger. So peptides are signal molecules that tells your cells what to do. And we have over 7,000 naturally occurring peptides that go about instructing our bodies on what to do. All right? So it can tell your cells to make growth hormone, to make testosterone, to make new muscle cells, to make estrogen, to make cortisol, to make thyroid hormone. It can tell your cells to make whatever you want. And so in the next 10 years, you're going to hear a lot about peptides because they get more and more specific, and peptides are going to be used in cancer therapy. They'll be used to kill bacteria and pathogens and viruses and fungus. They can be used to be making more muscle. They'll be used to be making more bone. They'll be used to give you more energy. They'll be used to do for everything. And because they are much smaller, they are cheaper than the natural hormone. So whereas a growth hormone could be 191 amino acids, a peptide that tells your pituitary to make growth hormone can be maybe 20 amino acids, much easier to make. So there's tons of peptides out there, and as everything else, you cannot get them until you're fully evaluated, because in medicine, too much is just as bad as too little. And doing things arbitrary is not a good idea. The idea is to evaluate and optimize so we can help you repair things and regenerate your body so you can be 29 again like me. So once again, to recap, regenerative medicine is what we need to be doing, because that's how our body repairs things. We need to help our bodies repair things. And the only way we do is by providing the raw materials our body needs to repair things, and then helping our stem cells, helping our growth hormones, helping our peptides, helping our blood by giving your body the raw materials so that all of those things can help your body regenerate. That's the only way you can be 29 again and again like me. Well, thank you all very much. This is Dr. Vernon Williams. Once again, I enjoyed talking to you all on our show today on regenerative medicine. Thank you all.